break through, maybe with your fingers, have a close look. Any little pieces, little chips, yep. Doesn't matter how small they are, just have a look. Right. If they look anything like bone, give us the L.
We were walking cattle down this fence. I was riding a horse and just poking along on the tail, and I was off the fence a little bit and came across the one bone, and I knew it was a bone, not a rock, so I hopped off and had a bit of a look around and realised there was a few more there.
That's Richmond District grazier Mick Maxwell, describing the moment he first caught sight of a 100-million-year-old fossil on his property in northwest Queensland. Now, a year later, he's back in the very same spot, playing host to a group of paying tourists, volunteers and scientists. They're here on Rothbury Park Station as part of a five-day dig organised by the local Kronosaurus Corner Fossil Museum to try and unearth this latest find, believed to be an elasmosaurid.
I knew it was pretty big because it was definitely bigger bones than a cow. But Michelle, the new curator at Richmond, showed us a picture of what it looks like just before, and yeah, it's pretty exciting to see a real life type picture of the animal, and puts it definitely into perspective. So yeah, to actually learn a little bit about it, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Pull it out by the roots, give it a shake, shake the dirt off, make sure there's no bones with it.
Hi, I'm Zara Margolis. The dig site is a good 2-hour bus drive from Richmond, an area well known for its fossil finds. The paddock has been marked out using string grids, and the group is down on their hands and knees, carefully pulling away at the grass and soil.
Is this a bone?
Yes, that's a bone chip. That's a good piece.
Paleontologist Dr. Patrick Smith is the former curator of the Kronosaurus Corner Museum. He's travelled more than 2,000 kilometres from Sydney to join in this year's dig.
An elasmosaur is one of these large marine reptiles. They have a very long neck, so they look a bit like a snake's head and a long neck. And then they've got a big fat body, a bit like that of a turtle without a shell, and four paddle-like limbs, again, a bit like a turtle has, with a short little tail at the end.
How big would these creatures have been?
Well, some of the larger ones could get up to 30 metres long, but the ones in Australia we know were roughly about 10 metres long.
Have a little look around the grass. See, there's not anything around in there. Any little rocks?
Yeah, hi, I'm Dennis. I'm here as a volunteer. I come up to this area in Richmond every year for quite a few weeks. It's a great place to come, and there's always good finds here. This is a great find this year. The elasmosaur. We're working our way through the surface and getting some really good material. We've got some stomach contents there with gastroliths, little stones that roll around in the fella's belly. Really good. This is great. And we're going to be here for another couple of days, and I'm sure we'll have a really good specimen at the end of it.
How long have you been coming up to Richmond for?
I think I've lost track of the years, but about 8 years. I come here every year for several weeks, as much time as I can spare, actually. And in the future years, I'm looking forward to coming back and spending more time here.
And you're from New South Wales, that's correct?
Yeah, that's right. I'm from Grafton down there. I come travel a fair way to get here, but it's all worth it.
Dennis isn't the only one who's travelled a fair distance for the dig. The 15 paying guests taking part have come from all over the country, and that includes Heidi Wilson from Melbourne.
I just love the history of it. I think, you know, it's amazing to think that there was something living out here so many millions of years ago, and we're finding it now today and just finding out about it. I actually was out here last year just having a look around. There's a really beautiful dinosaur trail that goes from Winton and out to Huendon and includes Richmond as well. So I was out here last year just having a bit of a look around because I've been interested in paleontology ever since I was about 4. And when I got home from my travels last year, I heard about the dig through Facebook, actually, and figured I'd better get out here and start digging.
So what they're doing now, what they've identified that there's rock, and they're removing some of the surrounding soil so that we can see just what sort of rock it is, whether it's a loose fossil or if it's some other piece.
Michelle Johnston is the current curator of Kronosaurus Corner. She says teaching people to dig for fossils is surprisingly easy.
When we're back in preschool, they teach us to spot the difference. So they give us a piece of paper and it's got a circle, a square and a circle. and it's like, which one of these is different? And obviously it's the square. It's the same out here. So, you know, you can see what the rocks look like or what the dirt, what the soil looks like. And if there's anything different, chances are it's a fossil. The good thing with these fossils is that the bone actually looks like modern bone or can be compared to modern bone. Obviously it's fossilised, but it's still got those same patterns in it that bone has. So it's quite easy to detect and to teach people, which is part of the exciting part of my job.
But there's more to a fossil dig than just digging. Each bone also needs to be labelled and mapped in relation to where it's discovered on site.
We've divided the grids up, or the site up into different grids, and we're just sifting through or going through the topsoil to see if there's any further bones. Once we find some bones, I'll actually mark them or label them. We're also recording on a graph or a grid which bones are being found where, so that once we get back to the lab we can put it back together and see. So whilst they don't perhaps make sense how they're being found, once we get it back to the lab and we know which bones went where, we can perhaps make a little bit more sense of it.
Why put on a dig like this involving members of the public rather than just scientists?
Well, there's many, many reasons. One, there's a huge interest in paleontology in the general public, and it's pretty rare and pretty privileged opportunity for people to become involved. To actually be involved in a real live paleontology dig's not something that you can do every day. It also gathers a sense of community, increases the profile of Richmond and the marine paleontology that we've got. But it's also important that we've got the landowners involved as well. So they're also involved in our team. We've got the three young children out there at the moment, and I believe Dad's out there at the moment as well, which is pretty cool, and his mum's out there too. So, you know, word of mouth, it certainly helps promote the profile of paleontology, particularly the marine paleontology, as well as the region and the tourism for the area as well.
What happens to this specimen once it's been collected this week and all the bone fragments and everything have been carried up and taken away? What happens then?
So we will put it back together in the museum and see if there's any pieces that particularly go together. We've been gridding out the fossil itself as it's been found. So it's a matter of just seeing
like
what
a big jigsaw puzzle.
A big jigsaw puzzle, absolutely. Just putting it back together as much as we can. And just seeing what we've got.
And will that then go on display in the museum?
Absolutely, absolutely. It'd be great if it was out on display in less than a year, but we'll see how we go.